Hey, it's an absolute honor that you chose to spend a few minutes with us. We cannot wait to get to the message in just a few moments. I'm Pastor Marcus Meek, and with Seven Hills Church, we're located in the Cincinnati metro area. And I mention that because if you're ever in the Cincinnati area, would you come and see us? Come and worship with us. I believe it'll be a powerful time for you, and we would love to meet you as well. Today's message is one of those that my whole life, there's just been so much fear around the subject of end times and the last days. I believe today's message will be one of those rare ones that will get you so excited for the time that we're living in here on planet Earth. God is preparing His people for these last days. I also want to encourage you to wait to the end of the message, because if you like the content today, I've got a way for you to get some more free resources, and we cannot wait to get that in your hand. Let's get right to the message. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head was a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign or wonder appeared in heaven, and behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, and he stood there to devour the child, capital C, if you're reading it, as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with the wrought iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. I'm going to go through this entire chapter, but I wanted to start off with those first 5 verses, just talking about this Wonder Woman that Revelation chapter 12 talks about, that the entire end time prophecy will be centered upon this particular Wonder Woman. And we're going to focus in on that, because that Wonder Woman is the nation of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've deposited in our hearts over the last several weeks. I've sensed a shift in my own spirit, an excitement, an expectancy, God, about all that you're wanting to do through this place and through these great people. And we are living in those last days. And we thank you for the privilege of just being able to hear your heart on some of these things. And Father, teach us today. Lord, your word says grace teaches us. And so I pray that the grace of God teach and instruct us, so we can know exactly what we're to do daily, every day. Encourage us in our daily life through some of these ideas that you gave us in the book of Revelation, in Jesus' name. And once again, we thank you for the special blessing that comes on those who read this book. And we all said amen. Amen. I do believe that it's important to consider, as a Bible-believing Christian, if that suits you, that it's almost impossible, I would say it's very difficult at a minimum, to disregard the nation of Israel. Israel has had a special place in God's heart from the very beginning. You can't read the Bible without seeing that God has a heart and a plan for the nation of Israel. In the beginning, we see this. We see that after the fall, God wants to create for himself a people that he can show himself to, that he can reveal himself to, and that he can reveal himself through. And so he goes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I'm going to promise you a son. You're old, but I'm going to give you a son. And the result is, through your seed, I'm going to give you a nation. And the nations of the earth will be blessed through this particular seed. And we all know Abraham, or I guess Sarah, has the child, Isaac. And of course, Isaac then, you know, goes on, and the 12 tribes of Israel come, and the nation of Israel is a result of God's promise to Abraham. And everything you read in your Bible, you're going to begin to watch. If you read the Bible, you're going to begin to see God's hand in a special way in the beginning and all through Scripture on the nation of Israel. And the reason I say this is because now here we are in the very end. This is in front of us. This is out in the future. This is a book of prophecy. And what we're reading about is Israel is also in the end. It's important that you consider that Israel never has, nor will she ever, cease to be
a part of God's master plan to restore and redeem all of creation back to himself. It's important that you consider she was relevant in the beginning, and she is also now relevant in the end. Israel, in verse 1, it says that there is this wonder woman, or this sign, this woman that's clothed with the sun. This is speaking of the nation of Israel, and we know this because it says her crown has 12 stars that speaks of the 12 tribes of Israel. She's in labor, and it says that she gives birth to a male child. Our Catholic brothers and sisters interpret this as Mary, and yes, the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus, but this is speaking about something different. This is speaking about the nation of Israel. So yes, Jesus came through the Virgin Mary, but remember that he is also known as the Son of Israel, or the Child of Israel. Isaiah, in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he's prophesying to the nation of Israel, and he says, "Unto us, who? Israel, a child will be born." We know that in Hebrews, Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. And so I'm hoping that you can understand that Revelation chapter 12 introduces once again that Israel is not Old Testament, is not Old Covenant. They didn't fall out of relevance because of their unbelief. They always have and always will be a part of God's plan. And we find this in New Testament prophecy. This is important for four reasons to every single person in this room. Four reasons you should respect this Wonder Woman that we read about in Revelation chapter 12. Number one, Israel has favor with God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9 says that she's a holy people, that God has chosen Israel, and that he's called her to be a special treasure above all the people of the earth. And it says not because she's great in herself. She's actually the opposite. It goes on to say that she's the least of all people, but God chose to show his love to her, and because God showed his love to her, Israel became a great people. And as it is with the natural Israel, so it is with the spiritual Israel, that's the church. We would know that God favors us not because we're special, but we become special because of God's favor. God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We become valuable when we recognize God's love for us. And Israel was the first recipient of receiving the idea that God chose this special people. He revealed himself to this special people. He revealed himself through this special people, and he has never, nor will he ever, stop favoring Israel. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 says that Israel is favored, Israel is called, Israel was God created, and is God protected. All you have to do is go study the basics, and you can see that God has and always will protect Israel. Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, God chose Israel. He chose to show Israel his glory. He gave Israel his covenant. He gave them the law, or your Old Testament. He used them for service, and he also gave them the promise of the Messiah. Verse 5 of that same chapter says, in the natural, or the flesh, Israel gave you and I Jesus. So ultimately, yes, God was the one who had a plan to, in Genesis chapter 3, he had the plan to produce a seed that Satan would bruise his heel, but he would crush the head of Satan. Yes, that's ultimately God's plan, but who did God choose to use to bring that about? He chose Israel. And so Israel gave you the Bible that you read. They gave us Jesus. They gave us the word on paper, and they gave us the word wrapped in flesh. So the bottom line is Israel matters and is favored by God. Israel is a nation God created. They are God decreed, God loved, God called, God elected, God protected, and God favored. They gave you the Bible. They gave you your Messiah. So your faith is directly connected. John 4 says salvation has come through the Jews. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 through 3 says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Watch what God will do. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What did God tell us? He said, if you want to find out how the blessing of God works, is you go find what God's blessing and you bless it. When that when you do that, God blesses you. You find what God's favoring. You don't question it. You don't debate it. You don't fight it. You don't argue it. You say, man, God's favoring that. God's favoring them. And I'm going to favor what he favors. And then God's favor comes on you. But if you go after something that God has blessed and God has favored, and you start cursing it, the Bible says you cannot curse what God has blessed. And so the opposite happens. That curse bounces back on you. What's curse? It means to speak down to, speak negatively to, say they don't deserve to have a future. That's what curse means. I'm going to say they don't deserve to be a people. When you do that, that jumps back on you. And so we have to, as God's people, say, God has always loved Israel. God has always favored Israel. And I want his favor. I want his blessing. So I'm going to bless what he's blessed. And I'm going to favor what he's favored. Remember in the story of Joseph, there were two pharaohs. The first pharaoh that is introduced in the story, the Bible says, favors Joseph. Of course, Joseph and this pharaoh had a great plan. Joseph interprets his dream. Joseph comes up with this divine plan to build these massive silos and store harvest so they can have it during the 7 years of plenty. They can be prepared for the 7 years of famine. As a result of this plan, the nation of Egypt becomes incredibly blessed. This pharaoh sees that Joseph is a key to this massive prosperity. And so this pharaoh begins to bless Joseph. He gives Joseph land. He gives Joseph's brothers land. He gives Joseph's dad land. That land becomes the geographical area that now we know is the nation of Israel. That Pharaoh favored Joseph, and he blessed Joseph. His whole life, that's what was going on. The result was, because he was blessing Israel, notice what happens. Egypt expands its empire. Egypt becomes the mightiest economy, has the mightiest military on the planet because of their desire to favor what God had favored. As long as that happened, Egypt expanded. As long as Egypt favored Israel, they expanded. They were blessed. God gave them favor. But that Pharaoh died. Another Pharaoh was raised up, and this Pharaoh did not favor Joseph. And the Bible says he actually did the opposite. He thought the children of Israel are too blessed. They have too much. I want to take away what they have. Let's enslave them. Let's not only enslave them, let's oppress them. Let's take all the male children under the age of two because they've become too many, too populous. And so that Pharaoh took all the male children under the age of two, threw them in the River Nile, destroyed, killed all those male children. Now watch what happens. This is the Pharaoh that God swallows up in the Red Sea. At one moment, he's the mightiest man on earth. The next moment, he's fish food because he thought you could curse what God has blessed, and then God cursed him. Israel is favored by God, whether you like it or not, and I'm going to walk you through it. You're going to get it by the end, but it's important that you stay careful in your own heart to say, I don't completely always understand God, but what I do know is when God's blessing something, my responsibility is to bless what God has blessed. Number two, so Israel has favor. Number two, Israel has foes. Verse 3 of Revelation chapter 12 introduces the fiery red dragon. Verse 9 says the dragon is a depiction of the devil himself. His color is red, which represents that he's bloodthirsty. John 8:44 introduces the devil as a murderer. Jesus calls the devil a murderer, that he was a murderer from the beginning. In Luke 4, we see the devil trying to use an angry mob to kill Jesus. We see the devil trying to talk Jesus into throwing himself off of the high pinnacle and commit suicide. So the devil is bloodthirsty. Verse 4 describes what we see in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, where the tail of the dragon, it explains, takes one third of the stars, that's symbolic of the angels from heaven, and that that dragon's tail brings those angels with him, and they fall from heaven to earth. Notice the devil and his fallen angels don't go to hell, they end up on earth. The good news is this for those of us who are here on this planet. This is the good news. Leonard Ravenhill said that two-thirds of the angels did not fall. So you have two angels for every demon. Every time the devil attacks you, no, more are for you than are against you. Verse 4 says that this dragon is intent on bringing suffering toward the child, the male child. He desires to devour the child. This speaks of how Herod waited for the child Jesus to be born, and then he issued the order to kill all the male children under the age of 3. This is the picture of the dragon, that he's always looking to devour God's son, God's seed, God's plan, because he knows the plan was that this child, this seed, would come and crush his head, crush his authority, and crush his dominion. And so he waited, he watched, he looked, and then finally the child is born, and he doesn't know exactly who the child is, so he just says, I'm going to try to kill every child I possibly can. The Bible says in verse 3 that he has 7 heads, which teaches us that Satan is very, very wise. Is he corrupt and evil? Yes. But dumb? No. He is very wise, and that's why as the people of God, we must become much wiser in these days than we've ever been before. We have to become discerning, and we have to know what the Bible teaches about these things so we can see the enemy's tactics and strategies in these last days. And so Jesus said of Satan that he is the prince of this world. He's not the king, but he is the prince. He's looking to be king. He's looking to rule and reign. So Israel has a foe. That foe is not flesh and blood. That foe is spiritual. Any hatred that is against the Jewish people is started in the heart of the devil and is from hell, and he does everything he can to deceive and lie and corrupt anybody he can and put the same hatred he has for the Jewish people. And the Bible goes on to tell us why. So it's very clear. Let's watch this. That in chapter 12, Satan is the Antichrist. He's anti-Semitic. He's anti-faith, and he's anti the church. Satan hates Jesus, he hates the Jews, he hates Israel, and he hates you, the spiritual Israel or the church. So because Jesus loves me and because I love Jesus, I love what Jesus loves. So I love the Jewish people, I love Israel, I love the Palestinian people, I love the Egyptian people, I love all the Syrians, all the people of the Middle East, because Jesus loves them. But if there is an attack on Israel, I have to know where that attack comes from. Again, that is not flesh and blood. That is a hatred from hell. And my job is to simply say, I cannot sit back as a Christian and say that there is any reason for any hatred to be towards the Jewish people except the spiritual reasons. Why isn't the world against the French? Why isn't the world against the Australians? Why isn't the world against the Europeans? Why is the whole world focused on this small little nation and this small group of people? Why is the whole world attacking them? It is spiritual. So understand that the devil hates Israel because Israel gave you Jesus. Now, it goes on to say that Israel has to fight. Verse 7 says there's two battles that take place in this chapter. There's a war in heaven and a war on earth. The first battle is spiritual. Michael and his angels fight with the dragon and his angels, and Satan loses this fight. He falls from heaven to earth, but he knows that this is not the final fall. Eventually, he falls from earth to hell, so he keeps going down. Verse 12 and 13 says, because he knows this, he's violent, he's full of rage, because he knows his time is short.
How does he know his time is short? Because he has access to the same prophecies you do. And so you go to Matthew chapter 24 and you read that Israel had to become a nation. And once they did, that we were at the door of the end times. That happened in 1948. So that's 71 years ago. Your Bible in Matthew 24 says that a generation shall not pass from the earth after that day happens. A generation in the Bible is 70 to 80 years. Anything after that's a benefit. I'm not here to predict anything because the Bible says to not do that. But I'm just here to say it's been 71 years since Israel has become a nation. And the generation is wrapping up. So the devil hears that. The devil reads that. The devil hears sermons like this. And what does he know? His time is short. So his rage is increasing. His deception is increasing. His attacks are increasing. And the more you see the world focus on Israel and attack Israel, no, that's a spiritual sign that the devil knows his time is almost up. The Bible says, woe to those who live on the earth in these times because of the desperate rage we will experience from the enemy. But it goes on to say we will overcome that rage by the blood of Jesus. So his blood not only cleanses us, his blood gives us victory and gives us the ability to conquer anything that tries to attack us. So there's a war in heaven and there's a war on earth. And verse 13 tells us why. This woman, Israel, gave birth to the male child, capital C, that's Jesus. And Satan hates Israel because Israel gave you and I Jesus. It's important that you understand that. There is a reflection when you see the hatred for Israel, any conflict is a reflection of what we read about when Jesus came and he died on a horrible cross and then he went to hell and he took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He crushed the head of the enemy. And because that happened, the enemy hates Israel because Israel was what birthed the seed that crushed his head. Verse 14 speaks of a great eagle with two wings that protect Israel and nourish Israel. Many people believe that that could be America in these last days, and I pray that it is, and I pray that we'll always stand with God's people, because if we bless her, God blesses us. If we favor her, God favors us. So not only is Satan dead set on destroying Israel, but he's also dead set on destroying anyone that loves Jesus. So don't be naive that the hatred that you see there isn't the beginning of a hatred that's going to bleed over into anybody who loves and follows Jesus. So it's a key for a Christian in the last days to know that we and the Jewish people, every Christian and Israel, we are in this all together, whether we like it or not, and the same devil that hates them is the same devil that hates you. The same devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy them is the same devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. Number four, and we're done. Israel has a saving faith. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 says, I will pour out a spirit of grace upon Israel. That's Jesus. It says that they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. So part of the last day revival, the scripture is clear, part of the end time revival, the end time pouring out of God's spirit, Israel will be included, and God will pour out a spirit of grace upon them, and they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. So they do not see Jesus as the Messiah now, but according to the prophet Zechariah, they will see Jesus, the one whom they have pierced, and God will pour out the spirit of grace on them.
We're believing that God spoke to your heart through his word, as he's so faithful to always do. I want to pray with you in just a minute, but I don't want to neglect the opportunity that we have right now. If you're facing something, if you're going through a trial, a struggle, if you're in a heartbroken place, whatever it might be, we would love to pray for you. You can call the number on the screen, reach out to us, and we have a team of people that are waiting there to pray with you and to believe God with you. Don't go through what you're facing alone. If you're far from God, distant from God, you don't know where you stand with God, we would love to do what we can to be a blessing to you. Also, don't forget, if you enjoyed today's message, you can call the number on the screen or go to the website, and you can get this DVD. It's got several messages on it that will help you prepare for these last days. I really believe this is something you need to get your hands on. It's absolutely free. If you'll call the number on the screen, we'll make sure that we get that to you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that you have entrusted us with this time, with this hour. You've prepared your people, God, to be those who reach the end time harvest. And I'm praying for those who are watching right now that you encourage them by your Spirit, that you lift them. And whatever they're up against, I believe that you are preparing them to be an overcomer in Jesus' name. Anything we can do for you, please call. Let us know how we can be a blessing to you. Until next time.